If you are able, please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is the gospel according to John chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them he had said these things to her. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Yep, this was last night's sermon. I was going to talk to you about having doubts, that it's okay to have doubts, that I myself have doubts occasionally, whether we're doing things right and all this other stuff, you know. And I got this sermon from other materials. You know, as you, for every minute that you preach, you should put in about an hour's worth of work. That's rule of thumb. And sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. But I had another idea about what I wanted to preach to you, and I was getting ready to do that all week, and then I started reading these other sermons, and I came up with this sermon, and I preached this last night, and, you know, it went okay. You know, it was, what a good service. About 26 people, I think, last night. We meet upstairs on Saturday night. It's jeans and T-shirt, though I wore this last night for Easter, but usually it's very casual. And we've got a big screen up on the wall, TV, and we put up the words to the music, and we play very contemporary music. And we have a keyboard and a guitarist. And then we have dessert in the back of the room. And it's just chairs. So if you ever want to join us on a Saturday night, 6 o'clock, just go up the steps over there. We're up the next floor. And it's pretty fast hour. It's very different from this service. Now that I've given that advertisement, let me tell you, I went first service today, I went back to the other sermon. Because I really felt a pressing need to just lift high the name of Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. I mean, we've got on our Easter clothes, and we've got the Easter decorations, but it's all about Jesus. He is risen. I caught some people napping. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And no doubt about it. Now, it's not just that he's risen and now he's a nice guy again. I mean, if Christ wasn't risen, if he was still in his grave, he would have been a very good teacher, a prophet, a man of God. And God would have gotten the credit for some of the miracles that he'd done, for what Jesus did, you know, and you know, some good ideas that he gave us. But the fact that Jesus is risen, that he was once dead and came back to life and now lives forevermore, the fact that when he was born, that there was this plan set in motion, that prophecy was fulfilled, then he was crucified and then raised from the dead, lives forevermore, makes him king. Jesus opened up the eyes of the blind. He made the lame to walk. He unstopped the ears of the deaf, loosened the tongues of the mute. He cast demons out of people left and right. And when they came down off the Mount of Transfiguration, there was the boy who kept having fits and throwing himself into the fire, and the disciples tried to heal him because Jesus had given them authority, but they weren't able to heal him. And Jesus came and did it. I mean, he has that absolute authority. There was that man in the Gerardines, however you say that word, you know. The man was living in the tombs outside the city because he was nuts, possessed by multiple demons. And the demonic forces in him were so strong, they couldn't even catch him and chain him up. He would just break the chains. And he ran around naked, howling and screaming. The people wanted nothing to do with him. And what Jesus and his disciples came to witness to the people in that area, this madman came running up to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm legion, for I'm many." And he said, "Out of him. Get out of him." And he cast them into a herd of pigs who ran down the hill into the sea. Jesus had authority over all of that. He had authority over every sickness, every disease, every demonic force. I'm telling you, Jesus is king. He's not just a nice guy, not just a great prophet. He is king. Jesus went up and prayed on the mountain all night. Told his disciples to go out in a boat and wait for him. And the scriptures tell us that they were out in the Sea of Galilee and the wind was against them. The waves were buffeting the boat. So there was these waves smashing up against the boat, pushing them out to the sea. And in the wee hours of the morning, Jesus came down, stepped off the sandy beach into the water and walked on top of them waves. Walked out to the boat. We know crazy Peter, he got down on the water and walked with him for a little bit. Jesus was sleeping in the boat one time, and him and the disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and a storm came up, a storm that was so bad, the wind was whipping, the rain was pouring down, thunder and lightning, waves crashing over the sides of the boat, and these experienced fishermen were scared to death. It was that bad of a storm. And what's Jesus doing? Sleeping in the boat. And it's rocking back and forth. We're not talking about a cabin cruiser. And he is sleeping because why? Because he's not afraid. And they come to him and they say, "Lord, wake up. Aren't you concerned that we're about to die?" And Jesus says, "Oh, come on." Jesus gets up and he says, "Peace, be still." Wind quits, waves quit. And all of a sudden, they're where they were headed. King. Jesus is king over sickness, over sin over disease, over nature, the laws of nature. He is king over all of that stuff. And when he was raised from the dead, he became the King of Kings. Because when the disciples, after Jesus was crucified, the disciples hid. They got scared. They thought the Jews were going to come after them next and want to crucify them. And so the disciples met behind locked doors. Scriptures tell us that the doors were locked. And all of a sudden, Jesus stood among them. Jesus is now king over time and space. I'm telling you, it's a whole different reality with Jesus. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace. He is the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is King. Absolute King. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Well, he's king. We got to obey him. And I want to tell you, no matter what you're going through in your life, no matter what you're struggling with, he's king over that too. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for thou art with me. I won't be afraid. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Because he's king. And that's what Easter's all about. It's celebrating the fact that Jesus is king over everything that exists. Over time and space. He's king over the laws of nature. Scriptures tell us that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through him. He is king. He is your king, and he's my king. And that deserves a great big amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. And he is risen king, the King of Kings. Don't let anybody tell you different. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you because Jesus is king of your life. Yeah, that's worth celebrating every day. Certainly worth celebrating every Sunday or Saturday night. But it's Easter, and it definitely is worth celebrating today. So during your celebrations and your fun time with your families today, just take a moment out and say, thank you, my king. Yep. So,
here's risen. He's risen.
He is risen. Whew, okay. He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen. Okay, they weren't getting any higher. We had a bit of quit there. Okay, God loves you, and so do I.